welcome back to the Weekly Geekly. As always, I'm Mikey Kolsheen, and with me again is the man with a plan, Brent Schumacher from BPI Multimedia. What's up, Brent?
And I am.
Well, today I thought it would be cool to talk about the last surprise superhero movie, I guess you could call it, that M. Night Shyamalan made, Glass. I just saw it. Fucking weird. I'm going to just start with saying that it's a weird movie. I don't think a lot of people are going to like it. I think a lot of people are going to have problems with it, and it doesn't give you that kind of like sense of completion at all. You know, like, it does to a certain extent, but there's a lot of loose ends, you know, and I think that's kind of the point. Like, M. Night Shyamalan's movies are all about the twist, you know what I mean? And what keeps you guessing even after the movie's ending? And it's a trilogy, so people want this sense of completion, but, like, they leave it this open-ended way, which I thought was kind of cool. But, man, this was an awesome movie to see. And I saw it in one of those Dolby surround sound.
Dolby Atmos, they call it.
It's like the atmosphere. There's still, like, the seats shook and stuff to the bass, and, like, stuff. Ooh. It was awesome, man. Like, every time they had a fight or something, or someone busted through a wall or something crazy like that, you felt it in the chair. So it was just like so much more of an experience. And
which theater was this at in Omaha?
AMC Oakview.
Okay. Surprisingly,
I didn't know they had one of those Dolby things there, but they do, and it's really cool. And me and my buddy Benito, you know Benito, we went.
Oh, yeah.
And man, it was a great time. I didn't know what to expect because the first one came out like in 2000, and then the second one came out, like, what, 2 years ago, and you didn't know they were even in the same universe until the end of the second movie. Like, the last scene had Bruce Willis in it, and you're like, whoa, 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 what the fuck? You know what I mean? And
well, I read an interview that James, after he did Split, he didn't even know that it was an Unbreakable sequel till after the movie came out.
Yeah, I'm
he
sure.
Didn't even, he kept that away. M. Night kept that away from him, McAvoy, when he did...
That's smart.
The Beast character, he didn't even know that that was going to be an Unbreakable sequel to, like, I think, the screening.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's kind of a cool twist. Be like, hey, surprise. You're going to be in another movie, man. Like, I love his character. I think I loved Unbreakable as a kid because I loved comic books, and I loved Elijah, Sam Jackson's character.
Yep.
Because his whole, like, fantasy thought about how there are superhumans in, like, the world, you know what I mean? We just don't know, you know, or like how to identify them. We plaster the superhumans up as like the X-Men or like Captain America with like underwear outside of their fucking pants. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
Looking like an old circus freak kind of a thing because it's like funny, but like what if people are capable of those things and we don't know it or they don't know it because they're not.
The logic of Edna in an Incredibles saying no capes, no capes at all.
I love that. But I've always kind of like loved that concept in Unbreakable, and so when Split came out, when they all of a sudden they made him the Horde, you know, and the Beast was like the kind of kingpin of the Horde, just like these 24 personalities. I kind of fell in love with that concept where he was like the broken or the more evolved, and like he had this whole like mission statement, you know, like he. In the Split, for those of you who haven't seen it, spoiler alert, we're going to spoil all this shit, so don't watch this if you want to actually enjoy these movies. In Split, he doesn't kill one of the girls because she's, like, damaged, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I associate with that, so no, I'm standing
up. She's been abused or whatever, and she's been...
Like, it was flashbacks to her childhood of, like, her uncle abusing her and shit. And there's a scene in this one where they're all captured at one point in the movie. And they're taken to this, like, asylum kind of a place. And Sarah Paulson plays a great character in this, the kind of the director of the program. She's trying to get them to be convinced that they don't have superpowers and it's just in their head. And she keeps saying the whole movie, I have 3 days to do this or else, you know, and they're like, or else what? And you know what's interesting to me? The entire time she's trying to convince all of them they don't have superpowers, there's constant precautions to restrain their powers. Like,
isn't like Glass what, like pretty much medicated David's soaked in water constantly, and then
he has a chamber that can spray him instantly, but yeah. when they're in this like group therapy session, he's bolted to the fucking floor with chains. And I'm like, if you don't think he has powers, then why are you doing all these things? You know what I mean? It was just kind of like, it was fishy.
Something's up.
Yeah. But it was really fucking great, man. And I'll say this, even if you don't want to fall into the category of watching a superhero movie, it's not that. It just take that word out of it, and it could be a whole nother movie. That's what I like about these. Like, even though that's what they are, they're not, you know? And
the
like,
first one was a deconstructed superhero movie. So if anybody thinks the third one's going to end up in some sort of a Christopher Nolan kind of plane. Yeah.
It's not that.
No.
I would suggest it for the people that are like against superhero movies to watch this. Not in the hopes that it would get you into more superhero movies, but just to see that like there are movies out there that aren't just Marvel and DC. You know what I mean? It's not just these two brands of, you know, whatever. There's a whole bunch of shit out there, and it's awesome.
Does this set up for a universe overall, or is this just a bookmark?
Blatantly said over and over, he's not making any more of these. This is the end. And they left it on a good note. I'm not going to lie. Like, the way they ended the movie was fucking crazy. Like, I didn't see it coming the entire time.
I knew someone else who went, and we had a discussion on it today at breakfast, and I basically kind of almost had it predicted down to what was going to happen, but I didn't have the Paulson character figured out.
Yeah. No, I feel you. And you really can't until you see it, but knowing that it's Shyamalan, you know. But, dude, nuts. The entire time I was questioning it, I was like, no, I want them to be super, like, human, you know. And then the ending, I'm just like, holy fuck. Huge-ass fight scene, all this shit revealed, different origin stories, like, that are now revealed and all this stuff. Like, it's nuts. Mr. Glass, this is the place he's been in since Unbreakable. Because at the end of Unbreakable, you know, we learned that he's the guy that blew up the train and was looking for Dunn, for that person with that superpower, and did all these domestic terrorists, like, bombings and shit. So he gets sent to that mental asylum. This is where he's been for, like, 19 years. Split happens, and then Bruce Willis's character, which they're calling the Overseer now, he's like, at the end of Split, he hears about everything that's happening, and it immediately picks up from there as him, like, fighting crime and trying to look for the Horde, pretty much. And his son, like, helps him out now, which is, you know, kind of like, you could see that coming from the first movie. He's, like, at this base of operations. He's the chair guy, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And
he's the Oracle.
Yeah, totally. Good reference. But he's walking around doing his whole let me touch you thing so I can see your sins or whatever. And eventually just kind of bumps into him, and they do this first initial fight that is amazing. But then almost like way too quickly, Sarah Paulson and these like cops show up with these strobe lights, and they just fucking like they're in the rain, and they're like about to kill each other. And then they're like, nope, come with us and take him in. Turns out these strobe lights like trigger, what's his name? He's got so many names. We'll call him Kevin because that's his real name.
That's his real name. Yeah.
It triggers his different personality. So they put him in this room where if he gets even close to these lights, it'll like flash really ultraviolet or whatever, like really bright or whatever. I don't know.
It keeps his personality baseline, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So like if he gets angry, they'll just trigger it and he'll go like back to like, the little fucking kid or something, you know. It's cool. And so part of the time they don't even know where they're at, part of the time they don't know where the other ones are, and they all have their own motivations and shit. And you kind of learn that Mr. Glass has been like faking like he's like fucked up this entire time, and like switching out his pills, and like is up to no good and has all these countermeasure plans and shit. Eventually wants to get the Overseer and Horde to fight on this newly constructed like tower that's like the biggest tower in Philadelphia now, you know, make this huge scene of it where all these cameras are going to be so they'll be exposed. And it's just nuts because you think this is what's going to happen, but it doesn't really happen. There's this twist, and even when everything is lost at the end of the rope where you're like, fuck, man, like seriously, everyone still kind of finds out about them, which is really fucking cool. If anyone's mad right now, like I told you earlier, this is a spoiler video. I'll even put it in the comments the first thing. If you want to know what happens in any of these,
you know, movies. I have a rule on that, and this kind of goes back like when all the Star Wars when the new Star Wars movies came out, everyone's like on Facebook, don't talk about it, even if it's opening weekend, no spoilers. I'm like, then you better get your ass to the movie, or you better stay off the social media for the next 3 weeks.
just don't listen to the video because we're not going to yell out spoilers in 3 minutes. We're going to say,
exactly.
We're going to yell out spoilers. But you learn about Kevin's origin story, how his DID kind of developed more and how the beast became like necessary to protect him.
Yeah, didn't Glass, from what I talked to him, my friend said, Glass pretty much not only filtered Willis's character out, he kind of filtered the beast out as well.
His mom was like incredibly abusive, and that's kind of what made his DID like flare up. Mm-hmm. And he kind of went insane not knowing how to manage it. And his trigger was, if you say his whole name, he immediately reverts back to who he is. Like, and I love how he puts it. He's like, he calls the light that's what it is. Like, stepping into the light is what he calls it, the personality that's coming forth. And I'm like, ooh, that's kind of a cool way to put it. But he comes back to the light whenever you say Kevin Wendell Crumb, because he has this flashback of his mom like about to abuse him. So it's like immediately like triggers him back to the reality. So like they'll use that too and stuff. But yeah, so his dad was on that train like three rows back from Bruce Willis initially in Unbreakable. So because his dad died, he was stuck with his mom, and that's eventually how the beast became necessary. You know,
his death inadvertently let Mr. Glass create him kind of off the direction.
The only difference is it took you 19 years to like become, you know, superhuman. I was like, that's kind of nuts. It was crazy. And then at the end, so there's this giant weird twist. At the end, so you think it's cops showing up to this hospital, right? It seems like cops at first, but then you're like, wait a minute. There was like six shielded cops, and they all got taken down or like trapped by overseers so they could be protected, you know? And there's videotaping of everything. There's like 100 different cameras in this hospital. Everything's being recorded. The fights, everything. And then you really don't see any more cops show up till nearly the end of the fight, and it's guys with guns. And the therapist is talking to the girl that is like the girl he led away. And she's kind of like the only one that can break through to Kevin, right? They're like friends and they care about each other, but it's just like crazy. So she's like, you have to get Kevin back so, you know, we can get them inside and protect them and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, Bruce Willis is like, everyone else get inside. It's not safe. Like, oh, trying to save the day and shit.
Yeah.
He ends up. The beast ends up fucking running up to Bruce Willis, fucking picking him up, continues running and slams him, like jumps into that fucking giant water barrel outside of the building, which was what fueled the water shit in his cell.
Yeah.
So they're in that and he's like freaking out, you know, and eventually he like Bruce Willis punctures a hole through the bottom. They come out of it. They're like, and he's still weak now because he was just submerged in water. And the girl comes over and like talks to Kevin and gets him to not be the beast. So he's back in like a human body. And just as it's like this beautiful moment. You see a red dot in her hair and then they turn and he gets shot right in the fucking stomach by like a big ass sniper bullet by this dude. That's like, you know, looks like a SWAT guy, but he has this clover tattoo that they like zoom in on his wrist. And you're like, okay. And then you look back at Bruce Willis and there's like a giant pothole in the cement that's filled with water now. And they're like fucking drowning him. And as they're drowning him, he keeps coming up and Sarah Paulson's like, did I almost convince you? Did I almost convince you that you were a real, like just a human? And he was like, what the fuck? And they just keep dunking him. They eventually fucking kill him in front of his son.
Oh my God.
And all these people have these clover tattoos. So does Sarah Paulson. And you're like, what the fuck? And she goes, touch my hand, reach out to my hand, because she wants him to see what she knows. And he does that. And then in an instant, you see this swanky-ass Manhattan bar with all these people. They're all drinking. And then Sarah Paulson sits down at a table, and they all just instantly go quiet and start talking about, like, what's necessary to do. And then it comes back. And you're like, oh, my God, there's a secret fucking society that knows they're real? Like, this is nuts. So this was entirely premeditated from the end of Unbreakable. But then after he dies, Glass is already dying, right? He's going to die. They all three fucking die. So you're like, oh my god, no one's gonna know they're real. Like,
no sequel.
This is not. It's like human. Like, humanity's never gonna know. And she explains pretty much that that's the mission of their secret societies, to keep balance, because they're like, it's not fair for people to have godlike abilities and all this shit, and we need to maintain peace and order and all this stuff. Blah blah
what,
blah.
What did the overseer's son say when he saw all this?
Well, he was just crying and freaking out and trying to punch the SWAT dudes. You know, they're just like kind of like escorted him away, pretty much. You know, it was like very hush hush for a minute.
They didn't know whether he's inherited things yet or not. He could be the next overseer.
It was him, the girl from Split, and Glass's mom. They're all just there freaking out, you know? So you hear all this shit, and you're like, oh, my God, this is nuts. And she goes back to her society, and, like, it's talking about how it's all handled and blah, blah, blah. If you can't convince them that they're human and only human, then you kind of have to lobotomize them, which is what they attempted to do to Glass. And they were all like, Yeah, we're in agreement. So she's like, I'll move on to the next city. And then she, like, is in a comic book shop, of all places, looking through the comics. And these two nerds are in the corner, and he's like, that's why he's the mastermind, man, because he's got you looking over here and thinks that this is his plan, but really over here, this is his plan. And then she's like, oh, shit, and stops flipping through the comics. And then she immediately drives back to that hospital and asks about all the videotapes, because they deleted all the footage, so no one would know they're real. And he's like, yeah, we deleted everything, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, is it possible that someone downloaded it? And they went back, and it turns out he hacked in the computer system and live-streamed everything. Every hallway, every outside fight, every interaction, every display of power, and uploaded it to a website and then emailed it to his mom, Dunn's son, and the girl from Split. Emailed it to all three of them.
Yeah, but that puts them in danger.
They made it public and then, like, went to the train station from the first movie, and they're all just sitting there drinking coffee, and she's like, when do you think it's going to happen? I don't know. When did you upload it? Like, 2 hours ago? And then you just see everyone whip out their phones, and they're like, what the fuck? And then it's on the news stations, and it kind of zooms out. And you're like, what? Like, now everyone knows. And Sarah Paulson's, like, having a hissy fit, because that was their, like, entire mission, was to keep this shit secret. And now it's not a secret. And you're just like, oh, Glass won. Like, in the end, he was right, and he won. Like, that's nuts. Like,
and Glass knew he was going to die, so.
They went full circle, so much so, that they like, I don't know. They mixed in scenes from Unbreakable and from Split. So it felt like everything was just intended to be like this. Because he said he wrote Glass as, like, right after he was writing Unbreakable. Like, this was intended from Unbreakable. I was like,
now you and I can respect that he's trying to make some very distinct changes and stuff.
Yeah.
What was the reaction of most of the people coming out of there? Were they waiting for this kind of a change in pacing? And
I don't know. Me and Benita were like, holy shit, like, half the time, like, the way they revealed stuff, and then the very ending, just the way it was done. And here's the thing that's been unique about his movies is not just the storytelling and the twists, which is what he's famous for, but I'm talking even down to the cinematography, dude. Everything is a clue. I feel like I almost need to go back and rewatch it. You know what I mean?
Because yeah.
I probably missed some shit, and I'm just like, fuck. Like, it was so good. I like this one scene in the movie where the son's trying to look for answers and the dad's already locked up with them. He's looking through this comic book shop, and there's a green sign that says heroes and a purple sign that says villains in these two different areas, and it's lighting the entire scene. And it's just, like, beautiful because those are the colors of the Overseer and Mr. Glass. So it's like this painted picture the entire time. It's pretty cool. Visually, it was really, really good. And then, like, the fact that I saw it in one of those Dolby theaters just made everything, like, punch so much harder. And, like, dude, color is better on those things. It's more defined. Like, it's HD. Like, I love those things now. I want to watch every movie in a Dolby environment, atmosphere, room, or whatever.
I have Dolby Vision on my TV. Like, most of my 4K stuff I stream through, like, Netflix and Vudu is in 4K Dolby Vision. The color bandwidth's way better. I have a small Atmos soundbar, so I get that reflective noise thing. Not to the degree you had it, but it's the same effect. It's such a big difference. Because sound is 50% of your experience. People forget that.
I could hear every little sound. There was, like, water dropping in his cell and shit when he was there, and they're talking to him. I could, like, hear every little drop, like, and see everything. It was cool. Like, and They even kept showing off in the previews, like, between shit, like, the difference between real. If they'd split the screen straight down and, like, show you what black was normally and then what it is in Dolby and how it looks like it's just off, like, the projector's off. And they had all these cool fucking visuals, and then at the end it'd go black, and it'd go, yes, the projector's still on. And then it would just go to another fucking preview. I was like, oh, my God.
I know, I know, like, on my TV, it's not like a regular LCD where it's backlit. Like, everything... Like if you watch a Starfield, one of the Star Wars movies, every little star is a separate light on the TV. So when you see black, it's absolute black. That part of the TV is shut off. So you get complete black and complete white.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it makes a big difference, man.
Oh, yeah. Everything is more vivid. You know what I mean? All the colors are more vivid. And the contrast, like, that you're looking at is more realistic.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. It was a really cool experience in that theater. And I love all the beasts. Like, powers, you know what I mean? Like, and all the things you can do. So, like, this movie showcased that a lot more than Split. And it showcased Bruce Willis's character a lot more. It kind of showcased all of them equally, but, like, you just didn't get as much from Glass, but the whole thing was his plan. So, like, the whole movie was about him, but it really kind of focused a lot more on those two. I don't know. It was different. Even, like I said, visually, it was beautiful. Like, they did this whole group therapy session where they were all talking to her in this, like, weird pink room that was just like really long and like looked like almost like an orphanage with like beds and shit, but everything was pink. I was just like, oh, that's weird. They kept them in their like colors, like green and yellow and purple and shit.
That's cool.
Yeah, I liked it visually. I liked everything about it, really. But like I said in the beginning of this video, a lot of people won't like this movie because it's something you have to pay attention to. You know, it's not just the normal superhero movie where it's kind of fed to you. You have to go back and watch this first movie. And then if you even like that, then go watch Split. And if you love that, watch this. but you can't just jump in on Glass and be like, oh, it's fucking amazing, bro. You know, like.
Now, with the way it ends, do you feel like it ruins Unbreakable? Because Unbreakable is kind of a pure movie.
No. A lot of people would probably disagree with that because of the way they killed off everybody.
Because that was my counter argument I heard today was that it kind of kills how great Unbreakable was.
I don't know. I think if the mission of the movie was to kind of like show people that they exist, then it didn't. I don't think the mission of Unbreakable was like to just sit there and, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like just jerk off Bruce Willis's character. You know what I mean? And make him like truly unbeatable thing because he wasn't. And they focused on that in the end of the movie with the pool scene. And I like that because you can't just have this, like, run into the night fucking thing. I want some Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid ending. You know, like, it's not about the character. It's about the message. Yeah,
which is amazing. Everybody croaks in Butch Cassidy at the end, and everybody looks at it as being a classic. I just think it's funny how audiences are more fickle now about everything. Like, we want to be spoon-fed a happy ending, then go watch a Disney movie, with the exception of the beginning where they kill the parents in some way, shape, or form. But, you know.
If the man died, people would, like, kill themselves. Like, if they made a change like that in any fucking movie, other than, like, you know how Avengers did their thing, that's planned. You know, you know that's gonna happen. If they just killed off a beloved character, people would freak out. There's people that have this whole boycott on Walking Dead. They're like, if you ever killed Daryl, we'll never watch it again. It's like, people stopped watching it 4 years ago, bro.
Yeah, a lot of people could stop watching that show 4 years ago.
It's really annoying at this point. I liked it for a while, but yeah, like I was saying, Glass is probably, like, it's setting the bar pretty high for this year for me. You know what I mean? As far as, like, story, visuals, effects, fight scenes, like, just everything, man. And the fact that it fits so well in this trilogy that you didn't even know was a trilogy.
Sometimes with Shyamalan, I don't know if he just wants to tell his stories and doesn't care, which is great. He gets that kind of a carte blanche to do that.
Yeah.
But sometimes I kind of wonder, well, I can sit and talk to him and say, okay, are you just telling honest stories, or are you trying to honestly be smarter than everybody else? Because you kind of get a hint he's doing both.
I know. Too.
Like, I need to be the cleverest guy in the room.
What a twist.
I think right now he could actually do like a straight up rom-com and not have a major twist and have that be the twist, because he's written so many things with twists. I think if he did a normal movie, you know, but then again, if you watch The Last Airbender, he's incapable of doing a tentpole movie. I think he has to do his own thing because Airbender was horrible.
Yeah.
But he's, I'm glad he's back. I mean, he's doing. He had a phase there for a while. It's just like, ugh, God, he's getting worse.
I'm glad he's got his own thing, and I'm glad that he I don't want to say half-assed, but like he kind of just fell into a superhero movie, and then like went, okay, well, I'm gonna write this first movie and have an ending, but like now I need to figure out how I'm gonna get there. And then randomly goes, okay, well, I'm gonna make this how I get there, but no one will know it until the last fucking 30 seconds of the movie.
I wonder if he does write the ending first and back builds.
I think that's how he does things. I think he goes, okay, well, here's what I want to do. Like, here's a premise, a small premise as far as who they are and their motivations and all the characters and stuff. And then I think he goes, what do I want to do to them? And then goes, okay, well, what's a colorful way to get there? You know, I truly think he works backwards. Because, dude, it's like a weird way of thinking. Like, his logic and reasoning to how he makes his twists to me, it's like, okay, well, it was really tightly knit, but I'm also just curious as to why you did that, you know? Like, I don't know, the whole glass making him the beast thing, I was like, it's cool. I really like that. But at the same time, I don't like the way they fit it into the movie. Like, they're literally, he jumps on the top of this car and he's like doing this awesome crazy growl thing and he's about to attack Dunn. And Glass is like on the side watching and just commenting and being a dick. And then Dunn's kid runs up and he's like, hey, no, you know, in comic books, origin stories are always focused on the parents and they always play a role. And then he like brings it to light and Glass is like, don't tell him yet. Like it's some game, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, oh my God, like that little moment was awkward for me. I was like, I mean, this is a good chunk of a twist, but just how they did it was weird.
That's cool. Now, did they have the kind of moving on? Did they have the John Wick trailer on beforehand?
No, they actually didn't. It was weird. They had a lot more like horror movies and stuff coming out soon. Like Us, I want to see Us. That was really good.
Oh, that's the guy who did Get Out.
Yeah, it's his next one from Key and Peele. I always forget which one it is.
And then I think I sat down, kind of watched some trailers. Saw a new one for Shazam today, which looked really kind of cool.
Yeah,
it showed him like jumping out. It does a take at the beginning of the movie, at the beginning of the trailer. It does a take of the Peter Parker jumping off the rooftop bit. But he jumps off the rooftop and yells Shazam as he jumps off. So he's like in mid-flight as the lightning bolt hits his chest. It's really cool looking, and that's a cool. And that movie looks like it'll be fun. It's like, it's got him asking where the beer's at in the cooler, and they go to a realtor's office to ask like, we'd like a lair, please, something like a view of maybe a waterfall. You know, It's gonna be more funny than, you know, than the rest of the DC stuff. I think DC's finally got their shit together.
They've taken their shit too many times to keep playing the same dark universe card. To be honest with you, dude, like, I get what they were trying to do around the Batman Superman thing, and they're like, oh yeah, it's like the ultimate fight. Fuck yeah, we're gonna make this awesome. Promote the fuck out of it, and then it just flopped, and they're like, okay, let's focus on dark shit. Suicide Squad, that's cool, right? Okay, let's make it hip. Let's make like a hip version of the Joker and Harley. Yeah. And then we'll make this whole like over sexualized version of shit, you know? And then they're like, okay, cool. Well, now Batman has to be way more brutal and brand people and beat up Russian mafia and all this stuff.
Well, it sounds like Suicide Squad might be fixed because everything I've read says James Gunn's taking over Suicide Squad.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to be good now. But it was just disappointing in the beginning. And I was like, man, don't work backwards in comic book movies like this, you know? Like, work backwards in the sense of like story, but not like progress and how like good it is. I don't know.
So have you figured anything out for Grand Comic Con coming up? What you can do for panels or anything? Anything stewing in your head yet?
I don't know, man. We're about to have a meeting Tuesday night. So
you and Edward.
Edward.
Oh, who do you have a meeting with?
Edward. The fuck is Edward?
Eddie.
Oh, no. I don't know him as Edward. No, I'm meeting with Adam and May and Josh, the other people on the team right now. And okay. We're going to talk about Grand Island Con, see who's available for what days, as far as that.
Well, I talk about the Weekly Geekly guys, because you guys are going to share space, I think.
Yeah. We're at least going to have one or two people there each day, which is good. I don't think I'm going to get there till Saturday night, probably late Saturday night. So
that's fine.
But I'm bringing Rocco with me.
Oh.
Because I messaged him. I was like, can I bring my crowd-friendly canine companion? And they were like, totally. I was like, Okay, cool.
Yeah, this is, I was talking to no names yet, but we have people coming in for cosplayers. We're picking judges and stuff, and we're picking through lists, and it's always like, they're always like, well, what could you do for panels? And you're like, well, we have this 18 and plus panel, we have this panel and that panel. I'm like, okay, remember, this is a very family-centric con. Think Muppet shows. So if you're going to talk about, you know, how to make your blood splatter well, probably not the best place for it.
You know, I should do a panel then.
I'd be interested to see Benito be there and do a panel about the most family-friendly panel he could do.
Right. I don't think I should, man. Honestly, unless I'm with someone, you don't want me on my own talking. In front of, like, 100 people.
Put a shot collar on you. If you get close.
And then, like, it makes me cuss, and then you just have to keep electrocuting me.
Dude, his neck's smoking.
Comic book.
I know. Eddie is, like, really super excited. Now you're excited about it. I think, you know, like, I'm really looking forward to this con. I said, my goal, this is just my goal. My goal is to make, like, this is the con where people want to go to, because I think as long as we can keep it free at the door and, you know, and keep it to where, you know, we can just break even every year and keep things running, it's going to be a fun time had by all.
Hell yeah.
We're working on swag right now. So it's funny, like, I was talking, and it's like, he goes, I was talking to people, and they're like, yeah, we got these mugs. We have these cheap mugs from, like, a few years ago, and they made up these homemade with some vinyl letters for Comic-Con. Now suddenly he's like, everybody wants beer mugs. I'm like, oh, crap. Now we've got to figure out a way to mass produce these beer mugs.
I saw the Grand Con ones. I was like, that's a nice touch. If we go out drinking or anything after con hours, I'm going to bring one of those with me.
There's gonna be a lot of drinking after the Saturday con, because we went out to Wild Wings last year and did a lot of stuff downtown, and I'm surprised I made it around the next day.
Question: how far of a drive is Grand Island from Omaha?
Not that far, about 3 hours, I think.
I think shit.
Take the interstate, maybe 3 hours tops, 2.5-3 hours. But it's a Sunday will be busy and stuff, so it'll be a fun time had by all. So who's all on your team right now, as far as?
Well, we brought Adam back from season one. He was one of the original hosts, purely because I fucking miss the guy. Like, I miss talking about this shit with him. And he's one of the only people I know that can give me shit and, like, knows how to do it and kind of play the devil's advocate, so we can kind of, like, round out a discussion, you know, and it's not just me blabbing about my opinion all the time. So, like, I value the way he thinks about shit. And May from Drastic Plastic, she's a friend of mine for a while.
Yep. She's
social media doing that for us, helping us out. We're trying to rebrand too, so we're looking for some new stuff.
We need to get a little Drastic Plastic to see if, you know, this is kind of an off recorded thing. We'll talk about the recording. We need to get hold of them so you can do some advertising for us.
That'd be cool.
A banner up there, throw a poster up there or something.
Hell yeah. And then we got Josh, who has, like, studied, like, sound engineering and stuff. So he's going to start taking over, like, the physical recording and be our, like, live fact checker and pretty much just guy that we can, like, throw into a conversation.
Make everything sound as smooth as possible.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't need to talk all the time. I mean, I'll just interject. And I'm like, oh, I don't care, man. Like, do what you want. Like, so it'll be fun. I don't know. We'll have a lot of different personalities at the table. So, which I think is important. You know, sometimes I've strayed away from having other people do this. And, like, there have been times in the past where I felt like really, like, keep it close to the chest. You know what I mean? When I was in bands and when I did other projects with people, it got very, like, whatever I wanted to do is like, no, we don't want to do that. But then, like, they'd always come to me and, like, talk to this person so we can do this. And I'm like, why don't you just do it? Like, don't ask me to talk to someone for you. Like, things like that. I don't want to get involved in what you want to do. Just say it. Like, but it just gets complicated. But these are some people that I feel like we can all just sit around and have a beer and talk shit. And talk shit on each other and just, like, be cool with it. So that's kind of rare. Like, a lot of people take shit personally, and these are people that I don't have to take shit personally around. So
I'm waiting to see if, because right now we're trying to pick who we went for cosplay judges and stuff. We're trying to get a mix of who was there last year plus new people. That we always kind of freshening up the roles, or else it becomes the same convention every year.
Stagnant and then, every year.
Yeah, and then the next year have a little different mix each year, so it's not like day four of last year's con or day five of last year's con. You want it to be different, right, to a point, you know, to where you can. So the only thing I'm hoping is that, you know, if it's people that you pick, you don't have people going, oh, why did you pick them? I'm like, oh, don't even start.
Speaking of different, I will take this time to thank one of our sponsors, Ink Poisoning Apparel, right here. Check them out. Ink Poisoning Apparel is on Instagram, Facebook. If you see anything on their shop that you like, use our promo code GEEK, G-E-E-K, at the checkout, and you get 25% off anything, I think. So just spend as much as you want, 25% off, boom. There you
go. Your spelling is getting so much better.
I know, right? I'm now at a third grade level.
I wouldn't go that far. You're hooked on phonics, like maybe second grade.
Hooked on phonics. Yeah, but they just started sponsoring us like a couple months ago. Sent me a fucking cool care package of shirts that I've been rocking for like the last week. Some stickers and all that cool shit. I don't know. It's really fun. I like the stuff they put out. I'm only really wearing like two or three things right now. Not from them, just like in general, like different brands and stuff. I don't know.
Speaking of stuff to wear, let's pick your brain in a segment we call Pick Mikey's Brain. Ooh. Real quick, and we'll do this, work our way and meddle our way to the end of this wonderful show so we don't drone on for 50 hours, which we could do, actually. It's like we're in day five. It never stops.
Live podcast.
What would you do for any kind of swag? We're looking at ideas, like at Grand Con. What's outside of the normal T-shirt fair, which I'm sure we'll have, and bumper stickers, and the aforementioned beer mugs, which came out of nowhere. What is in your?
If we're keeping it family friendly, I don't know. You're pretty limited, because like
No knives.
When we finished rebranding the Weekly Yeekly and getting a new graphic and getting everything set, we were like, let's make fucking panties and like. Just like weird things, you know what I mean? Things that you're like, why? You know, like I don't know. Like
it works for Gene Simmons and Kiss. I mean, good lord, they sell coffins.
Get like butt shorts or like yoga pants, and then long sleeve shirts.
Please don't wear the yoga pants, by the way.
Panties with like the fucking really nice embroidery. You know, like it's almost like a patch. I like those. Get creative with it. I want to make a fucking vest, like a.
Jorts. A good pair of the Weekly Geekly jorts.
The Geekly on them. That'd be fun.
Jorts or
like a fucking bomber, you know, like bomber jackets, zip up. Those would be cool.
Bedspreads, cookware, coasters, a little bit of everything.
Oh my god.
No, I think this is gonna be one of our shorter shows, and we're kind of like. Ooh, we're running out of stuff to talk about. Well, you did the one thing we wanted to do, which is discuss Glass. And, yes.
Very happy about it.
And hopefully that's a good start for the whole year for the movie season. Because like unlike most years, blockbuster season starts like mid-March, April now instead of late May.
I'll say this. I was shocked at the previews because everything's coming out. There's just a lot of stuff coming out in February. And specifically around Valentine's Day, of course. But like all within like a week. It's weird.
You don't see a lot of rom-coms anymore like you used to in February. It's more horror movies and tentpole stuff.
There's a romantic horror movie comedy that I want to see. Happy Death Day 2.
The first one's good.
It's called like Happy Death Day 2 You. It's really fucking cool because now it starts happening to somebody else, but then it goes back to happening to her, and she's like, "What the fuck? Like, I just did, like handled this shit, and now it's like different." So. Really excited to watch that again because it was so funny the first time that, like, there was a scene where she's back in the original day that she was originally stuck in the first movie, and she's, like, just beyond fucking pissed and is going around fucking with people and just being, like, a psycho. And I'm just like, oh, God, this is going to be funny. But that and that Us movie, I really want to see both those. There's a couple good other previews. Alita.
Battle Angel, yeah, Battle Angel.
My God, dude. I'm totally seeing that in the Dolby surround atmosphere.
That's what I was going to say. I want to know where that theater's at because I want to see it in the best. Right now, the best theater I've seen stuff in Omaha is at Village Point from a technical standpoint, and that's one of their big ultra lounge screens. They have a massive Dolby Vision screen. But I have heard that one where you're at is pretty slick.
I would wager that this one's better, man. And, like, the seating is just so much better, too. Like, it's those recliner seats, but they're, like, there's like not a complaint about them, like because they're the sound and vibrating ones. Like they took extra care in them, so it's like the better versions of the ones we just now got like 5 years ago. You know, like
that's cool.
It's really now,
is it like the newer theaters where you get to pick your seats?
Yeah, and we that's got a really good pick because it was like a 3:45 showing on a Sunday.
So that's one of the best things ever. I love that because you can buy the seats online. You can literally show up 5 minutes for a showtime and your seats are waiting for you. You don't have to wait an hour and get a good seat.
Right. It's just like, fuck yeah.
That's one of the best ideas I've ever done.
You're like just fucking half-assing a night and you're like, let's go see a movie. And then you just catch one and you're like, oh, fuck, you've got like two seats and they're in the front row. You know, like, I hate that. That's inconvenient to me, but I don't know.
I still like Alamo for this presentation and just the whole setup. It's kind of out of my way. Hopefully when the downtown one gets opened up, I'll start going there because I stay in downtown a lot.
The same on the inside?
What?
Do all Alamos look the same?
I think for the most part, once you get past the lobby, I know all the lobbies are specialized. Like Omaha one, the one in La Vista has the Star Wars lobby, but I think there's lobby specific themes per town.
Like I really like the hallway. I've only been to the La Vista one, so I really like that like weird 70s red hallway.
I think that's a constant.
I'm gonna say I like how the rooms look all like relaxed. You know what I mean? It's not like a big stadium. You know,
like you should be wearing a smoker's jacket walking up the big pipe.
Yeah, I felt really classy in there, and then it was like those weird like 70s, and then it would just have like a message like turn your phone off, turn your fucking phone off, and it'd be like, and then it just like crackle like an old like film.
Yeah, but I remember I got like Brent's tone deaf. That sounds horrible, but it's
Rodriguez grindhouse movies. You know how they made them seem like they were drive-in movies?
Yeah,
I like that whole style. So like the fact that that was kind of their swag, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I'm totally coming back. Like,
I tell you what, I really like though. You know, and is you're gonna love that theater. I wish you could get there Friday night. We'll think over to the theater to show you the Grand Theater.
Yeah.
And Grand Island, it's restored there. It's so cool. It's like nice old uncomfortable wooden chairs. It's all restored to its like 1970s, 1980s glory.
That's awesome.
It's wonderful. A lot of neon. Just the screen's cool. It's got the stage on the screen. It's just aesthetically, I think it's wonderful. I saw a Terminator in that theater. That's how old I am. I remember I walked in there for the first time in years last year. I'm like going, oh God, I remember I saw a Terminator here.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get there, like, a little earlier on Saturday night. I don't know. I'm still trying to decide what time I can get out of work. But we'll see. I'm going to try and get there at least for a couple hours towards the end of the night at the con, and then we can go out Saturday night. That'll be fun.
Well, we will be enjoying some libations, I'm sure.
Show me around. I'm excited. It'll be fun.
That's cool. Well, you know, thanks for you know getting let me part of your nighttime soiree, and this new way of kind of recording is good. And by the way, I've had some no news. Here's some news to end the show on. I'm talking to two guys out of Omaha. Notice we're setting up a little mini network to kind of promote everybody. I got two guys interested in doing a podcast with us to promote. So our little kingdom might actually turn into somewhat of a kingdom.
Oh God.
And then my friend Adam and I are talking about doing a podcast. We haven't decided on themes. I'm leaning on either like a pro wrestling podcast because you know that's something that nobody knows anything about but me and him. Or I'm thinking like I want to do something like a retro geek podcast where we go over like our memories of watching certain movies as kids. Like I said, like when I first watched Terminator in a theater, and I have this wonderful story about seeing Stripes in the movie theater, that old Bill Murray movie. My dad took me and my brother to that at West Point, and I swear to God, this is the shortened story of it. The marquee outside the theater back in West Point said Stripes rated PG, even though I was pretty sure it was rated R.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, well, honey, it says PG on the paper and on the marquee. Well, the paper and the marquee had it labeled wrong. So yeah. My dad took us to Stripes. And I do remember like there's scenes of like, you know, wet naked ladies soaping in the shower and stuff. And yeah. And I remember watching it. And I kind of remember my dad kind of go like, well, I'm screwed, and I've already paid money for it, and they're already damaged. Let's finish watching the movie. And then it's like, remember my mom found out, we're talking about the movie. Mom, there's a girl showering, and there's soap on her boobs, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and his mom just yelling at my dad, like, come here a second. You know, but I have fond memories of that movie. And what I'm trying to get to is, I think a lot of people, I don't think as much nowadays, but back when I was growing up, and perhaps maybe you to a point, because you're a big diehard geek, which is, I want to talk about things like what memories, what tactile things you remember about seeing certain movies for the first time as a kid?
Like
when you first saw Star Wars, like when you first saw like Indiana Jones movie in a theater, and or first saw one of the Terminator movies in a theater, you know, what do you remember about that? And I have certain memories and stories in my brain that still are there that tie into certain movies that I watched. And that's something I want to talk about.
Yeah, dude, totally. I remember like weirdly watching Star Wars as a kid, and the scene with Boba Fett where like he throws that dancer down to the monster, you know?
Yeah.
That always fucked with me, and I don't know why. Like, I think it was like the lighting and Boba Fett just looked extra weird and scary. Maybe I was like feeling emotions for this weird alien dancer babe, and I was like, no. But it was confusing to me. I was like really scared by it. And then also, it's not even a good movie, but when I was really little, you ever see Muppet Island, Muppet Treasure Island?
Yes, I did.
So in the beginning of that movie,
Tim Curry is Long John.
I love Tim Curry. He scared me as a kid. Just a ha 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 like that.
So great.
It's a scene where they're all in this bar and it's all these Muppet pirates and the lights go out. And then you see this silhouette and you hear this like walking and shit, you know? And it's this like scary old ghostly like bird Muppet. And he scared the fuck out of me because he was blind. And he walks in and he's like, and like scare somebody, and then I couldn't watch that movie as a child for some reason. That made me like cry. It was bad and embarrassing, so I'll say it on.
Well, I'll equal your shame by saying when my parents took me to see Jaws back in 76, it was at a drive-in in Neely, Nebraska, and they wanted to watch Jaws because that was the biggest movie at the time before Star Wars came out. Mm-hmm. And I was in the back seat, like just trembling, and it's like, oh, be quiet, you'll be fine. And Jaws screwed me up so much as a little kid that we used to live in this small 800-seat town called Tilden, and they used to, back in the days, you could let your kid ride their bike to swim practice and swim lessons. And I was so freaked out by Jaws. I thought Jaws was in the tub. I thought there was an invisible shark in the water, to where I got so petrified of swimming lessons that I would actually take my bike to swimming lessons, not go to the pool. I would just ride around town for an hour, find the nearest active sprinkler, wet myself down and show back up at the house like I just got done swimming. And what I never knew was that my mom was getting phone calls from the pool going, yeah, is Brent okay? He hasn't been to swim practice in like a week. And this went on for quite a while. Mom's finally kind of like, A, you don't smell like chlorine, and B, what's going on? And it's just like, and I try to explain to her, and she's like, I told your father not to let you watch that movie.
He won't even shower.
The fact that I actually tried this ruse out for like 2 whole weeks, and they're like, where's Brent at? He hasn't been to the pool.
Weeks, you know, like that's weird.
And at one time, when my mom actually forced me to the pool, because you know my parents had spent money on this whole thing, they're like, "You're gonna learn how to swim." Like in the middle of Nebraska, I'm really gonna need to learn how to swim, and you know, not much. And then anyway, I digress. I remember they like try to force me off, like almost like walking the plank style.
Oh shit!
Like you're gonna jump off this diving board, and I hit the water, and I had such a psychosomatic, like crazy brain fart, to where I was like a cartoon. Like I was like zoom out of the water as fast as I could. I think I almost had a heart attack because I knew that shark was coming. Because in the back of my head, I'm like, this is the part where the shark sucks you under. And I couldn't disassociate the fact there was no shark in the pool.
Right.
You know, and I think right there, I didn't go into swimming lessons after that. Cause I think my mom probably noticed, okay, I think we might've mentally screwed him up like this. He'll be fine. Once he hits the water, he'll realize there's no shark. No, they just made the whole thing worse.
So,
and those are the kind of mini stories I want to kind of get into with people. Is like, you know, what when you watch movies either in a theater or at home or with your friends for the first time, what stories do you have to go with it? There's always funny stories, I think, that go with that. I mean, you don't see that as much anymore because we're a Netflix thing where people don't watch movies together. They just watch it with their family. They don't have kids come over and watch movies anymore.
It's not an experience. It's just like content.
Yep.
But I think today I was in the previews with Benito for Glass, and I leaned over and I was like, you want to know what my favorite movie experience has ever been? Which is weird. I didn't know you'd be talking about this.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah. And I was like, all right. So it was when 300 just came out, and I was down in Universal Studios in their movie theater with my parents, and my dad like was walking down, and I'm pretty sure it's like during that sex scene initially between Leonidas and his queen.
Mm-hmm.
Like flashes of just like weird sex and moaning, and like, you know, it's like, ha, like Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
Right? Just, yeah, Billy Goat.
Mikey's like, I've been doing it wrong this whole time.
So like, no, I don't remember, man. It was either that or it was the scene where he kicks the guy down the giant hole and yells, this is Sparta. One of those scenes. But like my dad was like walking down. My dad's like freakishly tall, man. Just a huge guy, like 6'7". I don't know. Fucking tall. No. Okay, 6'5", maybe. I don't know. But he's like got these big old flip-flops on that I always tell him not to wear because he's going to trip. And we could be like picking up a fucking bed and he's got flip-flops on. And I'm like, dude, just do it barefoot so you don't fucking trip. He's walking all weird in the dark trying to not fucking fall. And what's he do? He looks up at the screen as this fucking scene happens and goes all the way down the stairs, which was fucking funny to me because my dad is so tall that it just looked like a giraffe, like having a fucking seizure down some stairs or something. And so I just stopped watching the movie and I burst out laughing because, like, I don't know
National
why.
National Geographic's giraffe seizure.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my God, I couldn't even enjoy the movie. Like, it was so distracting and so funny. My mom.
See, you could have creeped Benito out when you said, hey, you know what my favorite movie going experience is? Today, Benito.
Right now.
Right now.
Give me a kid. What the fuck?
He probably wouldn't, honestly. I don't think it would have shocked him. He would have said, thanks, man.
Yeah, he would have just been like, all right. Oh, man. I love talking about shit like that. And hey, if and when you start up a show of your own, like, I totally love on it.
I think that's what we're kind of going to aim for. We're just going to have. Today is the. I think you know what. I think I got a title right now. Hmm. The first time I saw blank.
That's a weird title. I don't know.
I think it's a cool. That's perfect though, but it works because you're already thinking it's weird, stuck in your head. It's like when you watch car commercials, it has nothing to do with the car.
Yeah.
And everyone goes like, "That commercial's stupid," but guess what? You remember it.
First time I saw blank.
Yeah.
Disease. Spoiler alert or something like that. I have to put spoiler alert in there because of this video and mention glass and all that shit.
Well, you can almost do like a Kevin Smith kind of thing where he does a story about a specific thing, but his build up to the main subject of the story has nothing to do with the main subject half the time. Yeah. It's the journey that's more important than the actual goal.
Right. And I love when we get on rants and shit like that. I always talk to May about that. She's like, is it okay? Like, I think when she first started podcasting, which is normal, everyone's kind of like, what do I do? You know, like, what do I talk about? It's like, it's not really what you talk about. It's how you're talking. And then, like, you know, the dialogue you have with other people kind of just rolls into a conversation. And then it piques someone's interest and then they're all into it. And then it's like, that's what's fun to listen to is like how people communicate with each other.
You need to screw with May and give her like a planned format and say like, okay, as a producer, it's your job to keep us on track and just totally ignore the planned format. Just watch her struggle with it. Like,
She'd be like, how about I just, like, do the graphic design? I don't
know. And see how long it takes you to actually, like, physically tear or shred the paper. this ain't happening. We're done.
Jeez.
But that's cool. But hell, man, I'm going to say, well, we're almost at 50 minutes. We did pretty good tonight. See, we talked about things. I think the next thing is, I think I'm going to talk to a couple friends of mine. I figure that's a good idea. The first time I saw blank.
All right.
The stories will be great. You know, it's like, I think I'm going to start with this. The first time I saw Alien, I think that's going to be our first episode.
Oh, for yours?
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
The first time I saw Alien, which I was 9 years old, by the way. It's going to be an interesting story.
Yeah.
All I can say is years old going, wow, that Sigourney Weaver chick looks really cute putting on her underwear inside the spacesuit. and we'll leave it at that.
Leave it at that. And with that, everyone. Right on. Fuck.
I'm Mikey Colchin.
And what? I'm Brent Schumacher.
You don't want to go there.
You don't want to go there.
No.
You don't want to wear that coat.
No, it's the human skin. You got to keep it moist.
I'm excited for this year. I'm excited for the movies coming out. Next one I'm really excited for is Hellboy. I'm also excited just to keep fucking doing this, man. I'm happy that we've just honestly survived this long. Like,
exactly. It's all about enjoying what you're doing. Screw everything else. Can I do like an outro music on the way out? I've been thinking about this all day, and I'm gonna.
Oh my God! If you've been thinking about it all day.
Ready. Here it goes. And get the palette ready. Here we go.
Oh God! And you're gonna play a real song.
No. And here we go. And da 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 da. Goodbye, everybody.